Turn to a verse with me, please, John chapter 5. And we have a diagram, a simple principle that that really means a lot. I think it'll speak to our hearts. We are leading the congregation by God's grace. In ministry, we are learning to be ministers, not just the men that are up here on the stage, but all of us, we are learning to be ministers. We have a plan this fall that we will have a special time after service where you can learn more about the things that go on here on a regular basis and participate and live in faith and learn to minister to people. Pastor Chevelli mentioned in the beginning, bring him to me, that verse, bring him to me. And what comes to mind is the need to lift up Christ, and all men will be drawn to him. It's so beautiful that we don't need people to be drawn to us. We just lift up Jesus and people are drawn to him. And we don't even know how it works. But if he's lifted up, then people start to think about him. They may believe him. They may be anointed by him, they may be changed by him. And this is very real and very important because we are living in an age, and we've been speaking about this time in our culture and giving some definition to it. And I want you to see a verse in John chapter 5 and use a verse to teach the principle. John 5, and Christ is speaking very strongly to the Pharisees, the Jewish people that are there in the area. A miracle has happened at the well in John 5. And he has this communication with people that were very tough people. They were also very religious people. And they also, they really had a problem with Christ and his style, his words, his way of living, his way of speaking, his way of who he was with. They had a problem. They said, speak to us plainly. They called him a wine bibber and a glutton, a friend of publicans and sinners. So that is the context. Chapter 5, and we could start here in verse 38. You have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Comment on that verse. If you go to Israel today by the Wailing Wall, there's a school there, a study the scripture, a Jewish school, and they are there studying. You can go in and see the books and see the disciples or the Jewish disciples and see them study the scripture. They did this during Christ's time. They were very devout and very dedicated to study the scripture. But there was something wrong. Even as much as they studied it, they did not find eternal life. They did not come to him. There was something wrong. Verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe? This is the verse I want you to look at. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? I've read that verse years, for many years, and I know what he's saying, but then it wasn't until recently that I really was able to put it in words, what I think he is saying, because it's not that clear. But it goes like this. There are people, here's a diagram, with a fallen nature, or the heart with a hole in it, okay? And they gravitate to people, crowds, organizations, thousands, two or three, tens of thousands, millions of people. And this is what they have found. They have found the honor that comes from people. They have found a whole society that relates to them, that honors them, that speaks about them, that thinks about them, that they relate to. I think of the Hollywood people in the extreme, the Grammy Awards and all of these ceremonies and so on, and how charged people are in their heart because of being honored by people. What it does is that the honor that they get from people and the relationship actually hijacks them from God. Because what God, who God is and what God means to us is actually deeper, more profound, more important, more true, and more effective and lasting than the honor that comes from people. But this is the case, and we can explain why. But let's slow down a second, because this is already very slow, but park there for a minute. When I go soul winning, or you go soul winning, when Christ was with these people, he said this, I believe he said it in a kind of a despair, a kind of, I can't reach you. I can't get you. I can't, you, because your mindset is set to the honor that comes from people. And this is what you are feeding on. Recently, we spoke about the prosperity of the age and all of the games and things that we have to play and entertain ourselves. We talked about the technology of the age. If you just think of a social media venue, Facebook or... And think about the hunger that people have to find out what other people have to say about them. They seek the honor that is coming from people, and they are addicted to it. And I might say religious people are also very much inclined to that. We actually have had that in our ministry, and I'm sure we have it today. And it is that the people group and what they say about me is very important to me. And indeed, I believe it should be from people that are true, honest, biblical, sound, loving. This is our family. And what my family says about me is important. But if I am a believer and that is all that I have, the good words of people, then there is something missing that I need to rediscover or find so that I can be established, as Jesus says here, seeking the honor that comes from God only. Wow. Okay, let's slow down again, backtrack for a second, park there. What did he say about me? What did she say about me? What do you think about me? All of this is very human. And with the Jewish religious people, they had a whole system. And it had to do with their names, their genealogies, their clothes, their practices, and their position. When we were in Israel, Pastor Ben said, you know that John the Baptist, legally by genealogy, very likely could have been the high priest. But John the Baptist, whose father was the priest, you know, you remember the birth of John the Baptist, and he was in the line, and John the Baptist could have been, but John the Baptist, he was outside the picture. But he was honored not by men, but he was honored by God. Why do we gravitate to the honor that comes from people? Here's a couple principles. Number one, we are essentially superficial people. This is why we get pleased by the immediate. We get pleased by the honor that comes from our society, our circles. There is no denying it. We understand this. But when Christ came into the world, he was actually saying, I'm going to give you something that is deep, that is real, and that is true. And that is me. I came so that I would dwell in you, that I would be your life. We can sense it in our new birth, and we are drawn by ourselves. There's another point why it happens. It is because our heart is essentially deceitful. What this means is, I have a very hard time facing the truth. I recently, and I'm sure you've had this in your own heart, where, you know, something hits you and you realize, wow, thank you for your grace. How far off I can be, how wrong I can be. And it hurts. When God and us are together, he's very capable of, in Psalm 139, searching our heart to see what is in it. Self-preservation, I have a lot of that. Fears, for sure. A measure of guilt, inadequacy, self-consciousness, self-awareness. I know that this message isn't helping us get out of any of that. But I'd like to make a point. When we go out to share our faith and evangelize, it needs to be understood that many people are not believing because they're good the way they are in their minds. They're good. Why do I need what you have to say? I don't understand. I am fine. And Christ said it this way. You can't believe because you're all set. You're all established in this model here. This is your world. You're okay because you've got honor that comes from people. So you really don't, you're not after anything else. But we have an ally, a minister, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in the world to say to people, I know. I can go there. Holy Spirit can go there and say, I know the real story. I know what is really happening. I know who you really are. I know who you really are. And you know that I know. Now you must seek me, trust me, believe in me. You will be born of the Spirit and have a new heart. This sometimes I think the folks like ourselves are city people. We live a very busy life. We're very social, up and down 95, around the Beltway, at work all the time, coming to church. We're around people, maybe even in our spare time. We turn on all our electronics and we are listening all the time. And there isn't any time where it says in Luke chapter 8, you have a root in yourself. Root in yourself, meaning there is some root of your understanding of where you are at, what you are believing. What is your meditation? Where this isn't like introspection. This is simply an awareness of who we are in Christ. This isn't me sitting down and analyzing myself. This is God gave us a new heart that has no hole in it. And with that heart, it affects our mind. We spoke about that last week. You have obeyed from the heart the doctrine delivered unto you, and you have some root in yourself. And you seek what? The honor that comes from God alone. That's fun. What? Yeah. The honor that comes from God alone. Wow, tell me about that. Well, Jesus, I think when he said, you can't believe, you cannot, you even read the scripture, but you can't find me. You are tied up, wrapped up in the newspaper articles and the honorable obituaries and who knows who and which rabbi is the greatest of all the rabbis and which school and what your name is. And you're all wrapped up. You are lost and caught in this whole system of looking for the honor that comes from men. Well, if you have tasted it, I believe you have. When you got to that place where the Lord just went in your heart and pointed and just said, there. And you said, yes, Lord, that's rotten. That's me. And the Lord says, I know. But aren't I here for that reason? Aren't I here to honor you? If you honor my son, I will honor you and crown you with glory and honor. And that will be infused
in your spirit, and you will feel and sense, wow, wow, where did this joy come from? Presence. Where did this awakeness, this simplicity, this worship come from? And the answer is Jesus would say, my Father is honoring you. You don't need what the world is offering you. And you know, Fred Arruda shines shoes in Towson, and I hope I can say this, but I ask him for shoe stories because he tells me that there are men that their obsession is, for some men it is cars, some men it is clothes, some men it is their exercise, and for some men it is their shoes. And he said, there can be $700 shoes. Wow. I said, tell me a story. He said, there was a young man who had these special tennis sneakers or whatever, athletic shoes, and they were part suede, and there was a water stain on the suede. And the man came into the mall and said, can you take the stain out? I have to have these for the party Saturday night. And Pastor Fred said, let me look at it. He said, I'm sorry. I can't take it out. And he said that it was like a tear came down. I mean, that was it. Well, what really matters in life? What really matters is a good question. I was thinking there was a time when we rode horses to church, the human race. They moved about on horses. Then the combustion engine was invented, and now we have cars. Does it really matter whether we ride a horse or we drive a car? I think it changed a lot, changed our lifestyle. We have a beltway now. But I don't know what really matters. There was a time when we would write on paper with pens and pencils, but now we write on computers. Does it matter? I don't know what really matters in life. Isn't it a good question? A man has a great big house, great big income, PhD, great education, dies and faces God, and God is going to say, not in reality, but in principle, we are all asking the question tonight, that is, on this side of heaven, and it is, what really matters? What really matters? And the guy will say, I was happy. I was honored. I was respected. I had it all. And Christ said, how can you believe if you seek the honor that comes from men? Throw it, forget it. Get deeper. Trust. Ask the question. Say, I'm wrong. My suede sneakers, I'm sorry about it, and I hope I'm just using it to make a point. What does it matter if I gain the whole world and lose my soul? I got hijacked. I got misled. I was deceived. I thought this was what my life was. And God would say, are you kidding me? Remember when I walked with you along the beach and showed you the ocean and the full moon? And remember when I visited you and I asked you the question, are you going to seek me? Are you going to make your life count? Are you going to come to the Creator or just go to the creation? Guys, behind the creation is the big
question the Creator. And the minute I open that door to God, God is there very quickly. And he's there to say to me, good, let's do business. Can you trust me? I don't know who you are. Follow me. Lifting up Jesus, and all men will be drawn unto him. Let us lift up Christ. And I was thinking about our church style and the Spirit of God in our church and how we're kind of out of the box. And we're not out of the box on purpose by design. We're out of the box because we only have one thing in our heart that we are hungry for, and that is that the Holy Spirit would lift up Christ, that Christ would be seen in our assembly, that the teaching wouldn't just be A, B, C, D, but there would be something more about the teaching, and it is, can I see Christ? Can I believe in a living God? Can I trust the God that comes deep into my heart and says, hello, I am the living God, and you are a sinner. Now, the world will not tell us that. They only say at the ceremony, very good job, very good, extraordinary, brilliant, brilliant, and the opposite. Throw him away. We don't need him. He once was this, but today we don't care, and so on. You know, when your life crashes, okay, let's finish. Here it is. When the woman was at the well, she had five husbands. Christ said, call your husband. What a leading question. He knew she had five husbands. The man she was with was not her husband. That's the kind of person he connected with. You know why? She had no honor amongst men. She had no honor amongst men. She went to the well at noon to stay away from the crowd. Because at noon, nobody goes there. It's so hot. They go early morning, late evening, but she would only go when nobody was around because she was a throwaway. And that's the kind of person you can believe because you have no honor amongst men. Do you know that some of these people who are very successful, we should pity them. They may be missing out on the very essence of what matters, very essence of life, to be honored by God. Pray for them. And if their life crashes, maybe that is very good. The other crash is in John 8 with the woman caught in adultery. No honor amongst men, Christ said to her, go and sin no more. And she found God. I would rather fail and find God than never fail before men, be honored by men, be addicted to the honor and the accolades and the applause, because that'll never lead me to faith. But if I collapse and I crash, if I have trouble, or if I am successful, but I'm honest enough to say, I need you, God, you know who I am, you know what my heart, what is in my heart, I am a sinner. And please save me, deliver me, and honor me. I'm sorry to say this. I think I'll say it in a certain way. I don't know, Pastor Love mentioned it about the pastors that resigned last weekend, 400 of them, because their names, they were caught on some pornography website. Was it 500 names, and then 400 of them resigned from the ministry last weekend. Why would a man of God, why would it happen? I don't know. That's not my point. I know it can happen. But there must be something missing. The seeking the honor. Not to say that any of us are removed from the possibility, but only to make a point. The seminaries may not be doing a good job in training men in how to be a godly man, find Christ, and be and to be set apart. I do not know. We are doing our portion, though not perfect people. But it's fun to seek God and to get the honor that comes from Him and Him only. There must be greater saints than us by far who have made major decisions in their life, died in obscurity. Nobody knew them. They have no idea. I'm not saying no. The world was not worthy of such people in Hebrews 11. But God honored them. They died in faith. They died in peace. Maybe they died in obscurity, but they were well known in heaven. They died with little kind of victory. There was no real, you know, up on the platform with a gold medal type of thing in this world. But that day is coming because they sought the honor that comes from God, and God honored them in that spiritual reality and is preparing them for the Bema seat where they will there receive their great reward. There's a great hijacking that comes from the human heart, a great deception that comes from our hearts. A boredom comes with it, an emptiness comes with it, a self-righteousness comes with it, and a pride comes with that heart. Our heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Just to repeat it, Christ said, how can you believe? How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Let's have a short interview with Jesus as we close. Jesus, what are you looking for? I'm not. Believe me. I'm seeking the honor that comes from my Father. That's what I'm looking for. I taste it. I eat it for breakfast. I know what it is. I'm going to suffer immeasurably on the cross, but I am so much oriented to the honor that comes from God only. I know what it is. I have felt it. I have tasted it. I have laid down at night and in my sleep. I have felt it on my body. I have felt it in my soul. I realized it in my mind. I know what my God does. I know who my God is. My God is great. I have to be honest too. I've lied down. I don't know about Christ, but I know about human beings. I've laid down at night and felt nothing. I've gone through long periods of desert, long periods of something where I cannot explain, just dried up and thirsty. But that's okay. If God is searching my heart, if He is testing me, I am committed and I am believing that though He tries me, yet I will come forth as pure as gold. I will seek Him and find Him. I'll find Him in the morning, find Him in the trial, find Him later on in life, find Him showing up and saying, hello, and I'll say, and we'll say, yes, it is better to be righteous and seek His righteousness than the things that are of the world. Let's go for it. Our world is not here, it's in the next. Our reward is not here, it's in the next. But He's good to lead us. Let's trust Him in every way. Follow Him and follow the love and the faith. And let's tell folks out on the streets, don't be misled. Your life is bigger than a sandwich. Bigger than a spot on your shoe, bigger than a job, bigger than your reputation, bigger than what people think of you. I remember in Finland, just this
I married Finland at Christmas Eve, I don't know, 1977 or 8, one of those years. I was handing out tracts Christmas Eve, telling people about Christmas. There was a man with a navy blue cashmere winter coat, tall, handsome, Finnish man, professional looking. I went up to him with a tract. I was a little bit intimidated, maybe by his appearance. What am I doing out here doing this? But I went for it, and I enjoyed it. He gave me his card. He said, please come to my house. I'm a lawyer. I saw it in the card. He was a lawyer. Please come to my house. I want to talk to you. A couple of weeks later, I went to his house. We ate fish. His lovely wife made a dinner. I talked to him about Christ through the night. That was it. I left. He became our lawyer for our church, not a believer. 15 years later, I'm in Finland, and one summer, I go by in a car, and I see a man in the street. I go, stop the car. I walk over here. There he was. Alcoholic, homeless, swollen, face, extremities, alcohol. And there he was. He couldn't talk. There he was. Wow. Why couldn't you seek the honor that comes from God? Because the honor that comes from others, people, may be more important to you. And you have it, but they will let you down. They will have it, but they will offer you the alcohol. They will offer you whatever you want to, whatever you want to eat or drink or fornicate or whatever it is that you want to do. It is there. The people will offer it to you, and you will then, in this case, tragically. And he died, I found out later. Young man. Wow, what a story. That's why we are soul winners. That's why we're not ashamed. Listen to me. You are not to be ashamed of the gospel. You are not to be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. You are to share your faith. You are to go to people that are misled, deceived. How can you believe in God if you are caring so much about your honor and what people say about you? It is all empty. And we don't care. Today I was out in a strip mall and sharing just one tract to one man just walking by. I was so pleased with his pleasantness, and I felt awkward. But I said, life is crazy. There's a lot going on. I just want to tell you, I just want to say to you that God is real. God loves you. Christ came for you. And there was a moment, I don't know, did it go in? I do not know, but there was a moment, like, I think it was like this. Nobody talks like that to me. Nobody has said that. I think generally people could say, why did you talk to me? Why? What are you saying? What do you want? And we are saying that there's a life that's better. There's a way that is, you need it. There's an answer for you. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me? Yes, Lord. Father, we ask that we would understand the unsaved world these days. The cry, many have found their world collapsed, and Jesus is here. He is not afraid. He is not ashamed. He is walking about, speaking about eternal life and his heavenly Father. Why wouldn't we? He is not afraid of people. He's not seeking the honor that comes from people. He is seeking the honor that comes from God. Maybe this is why we are not sharing our faith. We are seeking the honor from people, not the honor that comes from God. As God leads, I do not mean that we are always speaking to everybody all the time, in every elevator, in every shopping mall, always to every person. It may be, but this is more, this is something we want you to search our hearts, and we seek the honor, the visitation, the power, the blessing that comes from God only. Thank you, Lord, for that. If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus as your Savior, now tonight is the night you say to Christ, I believe in you. I want you. I want the real bread, the real way, the real truth, the real living God. I am not afraid of the consequences. I'm receiving what you have for me by believing in you. Would you raise your hand here in the auditorium if you're saying that prayer? Anyone? Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray.